Please be seated. Now we're going to chapter 2 of Zechariah. There are three questions in page C2 after point 6. Question 1, from the history of the chosen, how did men turn away from God? And what was God's response? You try to answer it, huh? Number 2, what is the key to restore the relationship between God and man? The key is we have to return to Him first, because He said, return to me and I will return to you. How does God respond to man's return? If we return to Him, then He will return to me. So the key is men have to change. Now, Roman character 2, the teaching of the 8 visions. And this morning we study number A, the vision of the horses. And this vision is talk about the mercy and justice of God. Because of justice, after God warned them for so many years, God allowed the foreign nation to invade them and to let the chosen people under captivity for 70 years. That was the justice of God. And this justice was done for the purpose of bringing the Israelites back to God. So while they were in Jerusalem, they suffered and they repented, and God bring them back after the 70 years has been fulfilled. Now come back to Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18. The second vision, the vision of 4 horns and 4 craftsmen. In chapter 1, verse 18, then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were 4 horns. Verse 19. And I said to the angel who talked to me, what are these? So he answered me, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. So it was very obvious that the 4 horns actually referring to the foreign nations. When one of the foreign nations was Babylon. Right. So the foreign nation make the Israelite to scatter around. And the foreign nation was used by God as a tool to punish His chosen people. So we understand that even a country, a huge country, like the United States, can be used by God as a tool to fulfill God's purpose. So God not only used man as a tool, God used a nation as a tool. So even the nation is under control of God. So these 4 nations, just like a 4 horns, horn, some kind of instrument with power. So God used a powerful nation as a tool, like a Babylon. And then verse 20, there's another vision, the third vision. Then the Lord showed me the 4 craftsmen. So what was that means? 4 craftsmen. 21. And I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scatter Judah, so that no one could lift up his head. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns on the nation, of the nation that lift up their horns against the land of Judah, to scatter it. So what does that mean? The four horns was used by God, four nations used by God. One of Babylon was one of them, right? To punish the Israelite. And then there were another four craftsmen. These four craftsmen actually were the one who destroyed the four horns. So even the four horns were very powerful, used by God. But these four nations have their own iniquity, has their own transgression. So God has used another nation to destroy them. So what does that mean? So eventually, Babylon was destroyed by portion, right? Another country. So even the nation used by God as a tool, that doesn't mean God accepts their iniquity. The nation's iniquity, wrongdoing, will face God's justice too. So everyone, even though God used the nation as a tool, eventually God is going to hold the nation accountable because of their unrighteousness. So everyone have to face the justice of God without exception. So in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet, actually prophet usually conveys the message of God to the people. But the book of Habakkuk, the prophet just asks God questions. One of the questions is, God, how can you use the wicked people to punish the less wicked one? The less wicked one is the Israelite. The wicked one is Babylon. So when you compare the two nations, right? Even the Israelites worship the idol, sin against God. But Babylon is even more wicked than the Israelite. And how can God, a God of justice, use a more wicked one to punish the less wicked one? It seems against God's divine nature. Right? If you make a minor offense, another person make a major offense, and somebody use the one who sin more to punish the one who sin less, then in your heart, you cannot obey in your heart. You cannot accept that kind of fact. I only offend a little sin, and that person offends so serious. It's supposed God used me to punish that one. How come God used that the criminal to punish those who make a minor offense? That was a question posed by the prophet Habakkuk. And what was God's answer? God's answer is, because Israel have sinned, so God has to punish Israel. So God used the Babylon as a tool. However, Babylon is more wicked, so God will hold Babylon accountable again. And God is going to use another country to destroy the Babylon, to fulfill God's justice. So when we live in the world, sometimes if we look around, we really, our heart cannot have peace. So in the book of Psalm, in the Old Testament, people look around and find out the wicked one enjoy the good life, and the less wicked one seems to be punished by God. So their heart was not peaceful, cannot accept this kind of facts. Until the time they go into the temple of God and to think about their result. Let's see Psalm chapter 73. I don't know whether you have this kind of feeling. Psalm chapter 73. Psalm chapter 73, verse 2. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 4, for there are no pen endure death, but their strength is firm. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Verse 6, therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Verse 7, their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than heart could wish. Verse 8, they scoff and speak wickedly concerning the oppression. They speak loftily. Verse 9, they set their mouths against the heaven, and their tongue walk through the earth. You see, these people, Asaph, right? When he watched something happen in the world, the wicked one spoke a wicked words, was very proud, do a lot of wicked things, but they are healthy, they enjoy the good life, they make a lot of fortunes, all right? So this one, the heart was envious, right? So he was almost stumbled. Oh, if God is this kind of God, then I'm not going to believe, right? Do we have this kind of same feeling, right? I come to the church and pray, and I always keep the commandment. I'm fearing God, and I feel no blessing of God. And you see that person, right, and do a lot of wicked things, and seems go so smooth in church, in school study, go so smooth in their career. If there is God, how can this kind of things happen? The same thing. Now, verse 16. Psalm chapter 73, verse 16. And when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful to me. So it was a pain to think about this. And then verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Verse 18. Surely you set them in a slippery place. You cast them down to destruction. So when the person went into the temple of God, put the person into spiritual perspective, and all of a sudden, Asa was convinced, oh, God is the God of justice. Because this group of people is going to face God's justice in the end, in the time of their death. So the same thing, the same principle happened to the book of Zechariah. God used the wicked four nations to punish the Israelites. And then, end of the chapter 1, God used four craftsmen, another four nations, to destroy the previous four nations. Because the previous four nations have sinned, have their iniquity. So God treat them according to their iniquity, destroy them. So this is a meaning of four horns and four craftsmen. Now we look into chapter 2. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. The whole chapter is talking about the vision of the measuring line. Chapter 2, verse 1, Zechariah. And then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in the hand. Verse 2, so I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. He saw a vision. The measuring line. Do you know what is the measuring line using for in the construction? Right now it seems everything used the machine, right? But before the machine is so advanced, usually they want to build a building, they have to use a measuring line. To how long this building is, how wide the building is, and use a measuring line to determine the vertical, and also use a measuring line to determine the horizontal. So the building will be very flat. So measuring line in the even the 10 years, 20 years ago, commonly been used to construct a building. So they saw a vision, a person holding the measuring line, and Zechariah asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to measure Jerusalem to see how wide and how long is Jerusalem." So what does that mean? Because in chapter 1, now we are to read chapter 1, God was so fervent around Jerusalem, and especially verse 16, chapter 1, 16, the data part, "I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy, and my house shall build in it, says the Lord of hosts." And the surveyor's line, measuring line, actually surveyor's line, shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. So that was the symbol of construction. So God is ready to come back to construct the Jerusalem, to rebuild the Jerusalem. Oh, okay. But everything happened has spiritual meaning. Oh, Jerusalem, where the temple was built, called the Holy City. Oh. And if we look into the history, right? Before the Solomon built the temple, where was the ark been put? Where was the ark before Solomon built the temple? 他们把 ark 放在哪里? Where did they put the ark? They put the ark in where? Hey, brother, before Solomon built the temple, where do they put the ark? You don't know. Right. Next one. Well, before Solomon built the temple, where do they put the ark? Tabernacle, right? Yes, tabernacle, right? The when the Israelites in the travel in the wilderness, God asked them to make a ark. At the same time, they pitched the tent to use a tabernacle. And the ark was put inside the tabernacle. Especially the Holy of Holiness, right? So whenever they move and they tear down the tabernacle and move the same time, whenever they settle down, they pitch the tent again and put the ark inside the Holy of Holiness. And whenever Moses has something to ask God, he went into the Holy of Holiness and a cloud will descend and cover the Holy of Holiness. And God will talk with Moses face by face. And Moses had any intercession for the transgression of the Israelite, he went into the Holy of Holiness and to pray for the forgiveness of the sin. So the Holy of Holiness, or the tabernacle, is a place man can meet with God. It's a place a man can pray to God and can ask instruction from God. No. And then when David was a king, he spent many years to build his temple. But he looked into the tabernacle. The tabernacle is so simple, right? Look, it's not very beautiful. But I myself, under the grace of God, I live so beautiful palace. So David intended to build a temple for God. You know, David was a person after the heart of God. He feel guilty of leaving a house better than God's house. Do we have this kind of feeling? Oh. When our own living standard, our own house built better than the church, how do you feel? You have no feeling? Oh. The church is so, looks, I'm not saying this church. For example, some of the church has no building at all. Some of the church is renting the other location. And we live a very comfortable life, a very beautiful building. Don't you have any feeling? No. If you really got, do you have any feeling? Oh, so David has a feeling.
I spent so many years build my palace, and God's temple looks so ugly. Oh. So he intended to build the building, and God said, no, your hand shed the blood. Oh. So Solomon prepared the material, and David prepared the material, and Solomon built the temple. After the temple, in the time of dedication, the whole temple was filled with glorious light. Even the priest was unable to stand. And so the ark was put into the temple built by Solomon. And later on, this temple was destroyed when it was captured to Babylon. The temple was destroyed. And after 70 years, we mentioned in chapter 1, right? After 70 years, God allowed them to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Right? But this temple in the 70 AD, the Roman soldier invade Jerusalem and tear down everything, destroy everything. So this temple disappeared. Right now, in the site, they built the Solomon Temple. Right now, the Muslim built mosque. Yeah. The Muslim built a mosque. Oh. So one day, if the Jews want to rebuild the temple, and they tear down the mosque, that will be big trouble. Oh, that will maybe the beginning of the Third World War. Oh. So according to the prophecy in the Bible, right? The world is to come from the Middle East. That's true. Oh, especially come from the Jerusalem. Oh. And when Jesus come, he referring the temple as his own body. If you tear down the temple, right? I'm going to build up in 3 days. And the Israelite was unable to understand, right? We spent 46 years to rebuild the temple, and you are going to spend 3 days to build the temple. How can it possible? Actually, Jesus referring to his own body. And his body, spiritually, referring to church. After Jesus died, resurrected, right? 40 days, he ascended to heaven and sent down the Holy Spirit, and the apostolic church was established. So now, the temple of God actually is church. The holy city, Jerusalem, is referring to the true church. So anytime when we study the Old Testament, talk about the temple, rebuilding the temple, Jerusalem, the holy city, in the New Testament, it always referring to the true church. So if we have this kind of understanding, and we come back to chapter 2, it's become more clear. Chapter 2, when there was a person holding the measuring line, try to measure Jerusalem, try to rebuild Jerusalem, what does that mean today? I already explained, right? Jerusalem referring to what? True church, right? Now they try to use a measuring line to rebuild the foreign temple. So what does that mean spiritually? So what does that mean? Do you know? You don't. Let me ask you once again. Jerusalem was a temple in the New Testament time, referring to the true church. So right now, the Kaira saw a vision, right? A person holding the measuring line tried to measure the Jerusalem. So what does that mean to us today? Is the question clear enough? No? Do you know what I'm asking? Yes. The judgment day? Okay. Any? Yes.
Majoring the true church.
You know, the temple been built and later on been destroyed, right? Destroyed and then rebuilt, right? Spiritually speaking, the Old Testament, that kind of experience, spiritually speaking, referring to TJC, true church. So after Jesus ascended to heaven, the apostles received Holy Spirit and preached, 3,000 were baptized. And later on, 5,000 were baptized. That was the establishment of God's spiritual temple, which is the true church. After the second or third century, the true church disappeared. It is the beginning of Catholic Church. The truth disappeared. The Holy Spirit disappeared. Not until the beginning of 20th century, beginning of 1900, the Holy Spirit descend again. So that was the beginning of the establishment of the true church. So the mission of the true church is try to rebuild the fallen temple, the fallen apostolic church. Did you get it? You understand it? Now, let me ask you one more time, and I'm going to ask you a question. The measuring line to measure the Jerusalem, because Jerusalem already been torn down. Right now, they want to build the Jerusalem, so they use a measuring line to try to measure Jerusalem, to try to rebuild it. So use a measuring line to measure the Jerusalem, try to rebuild it. Spiritually speaking, what does that mean? In the latter day, which means the true church. Rebuild the fallen temple, rebuild the fallen apostolic church, which is, it means try to rebuild the true church. So, in order to rebuild the true church, we need to have a measuring line. And what is a measuring line? God's standard, which is a measuring line. God's standard. Okay? If you look into the Revelation, Revelation, there's another place talk about measuring line. Where? Can you find Revelation? Where is the measuring line? Chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 1, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Actually, the temple of God here is referring to the true church. The altar and those who worship there, right? The member of true church, you need to measure by the measuring rod. But verse 2, to dip out the cord which is outside of the temple. And do not measure it, for it has not been given to the, it has been given to the Gentile, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. So those who in the court, you don't have to measure it, because those who are in the court not belonging to the chosen people. So you see, the measuring line referring to God's standard. And what is God's standard? God's standard referring to the truth. So that is the reason when we try to build the church, the most important thing is the truth. So in our church, if you have been assigned to deliver a sermon, right? Every point, when you try to make every point, you have to quote a Bible to make your point. If you try to make a point without biblical foundation, then that's your own personal opinion. So in the church, we cannot preach a point without any biblical support. No. It's very important, the measuring line, referring to the truth. It tries to rebuild the true church.
So in the RETS, in the RETS, Religious Education Teacher Seminar, we have a class talk about the basic belief of TJC, basic belief of True Jesus Church. And some of you may think about RE is to teach the student, right? I just teach the student how to live a holy life, how to love God, oh, how to behave properly, right? How come I have to learn the basic belief? Oh, right. I think about half of them did not pass. And what is the test? The test is 10 articles of faith. And you can open the Bible, right? And the only thing is every line, oh, with 10 articles of faith, right? Your statement, right? And there is a biblical verse to support the statement. The test is try to fill the biblical verses. That is the test, and open the Bible. So the purpose is not to what? Embarrass the attendant. The purpose is you have to understand what is our belief. Right? Our belief is a measuring line. It's a standard. And this standard comes from where? Come from John chapter 3, verse 5. Come from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Something like that. Right? You need to have a standard, and the standard is the Bible, the words of God. So when you talk with other denomination, you can open the Bible, you can quote the Bible. So I talk to you because of God's standard. When a person receives Holy Spirit, the person must speak in tongue. Right? Let me ask you, not everyone who had good conduct means the person have Holy Spirit. Not because a person have good conduct, then this person receiving the Holy Spirit. You have to use one of the verse to prove which verse. Oh, don't scratch your head. It's too late. Huh? Not because you have good deeds, so you have Holy Spirit. Which verse? You need to measure in line so that you can talk to other church, other Christian to convert them. You are very good, right? Fine. Everybody call you holy man, right? Fine. But that doesn't mean you have Holy Spirit. Please quote the verse. Where? Acts chapter 10. Yes, you have measure in line already, right? Cornelius, the example of Cornelius, right? So if you cannot open the Bible, that's only your personal opinion. If you open the Bible, that's God's opinion. So we build a church, we use God's opinion, right? Now, the next question, right? Not because you are baptized, that means automatically you have Holy Spirit. Which verse? Not because you are baptized, that means automatically you have Holy Spirit. So because a lot of Christians say, I already been baptized, so I have a Holy Spirit. Then you need to measure in line to measure your statement is not right. Which verse you are going to quote? At Acts chapter 19. And another verse? Acts chapter 8. All right? Samaritan, when they received the baptism, they did not receive the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John, when they are pray for them, and they receive Holy Spirit. So this is called measuring line. So let's come back to the teaching material. See, vision of the measuring line, restoration of Jerusalem, to measure Jerusalem, measure the church, to build the church according to the standard of the Bible. Okay. If one is not born of water and spirit, he cannot have the kingdom of God, right? It's very important, right? Now, this is a measuring line. You have to convince people you have to be born of water. Now, try to explain what it does mean, born of water. You need to use the Bible, right? The measuring line to convince a Christian. You need to be born of water. Last week, only last week, I talked to a truth seeker.
a very devout Christian. And I asked her, John chapter 3, verse 5, how does your church interpret? And she said, I recall the pastor explained to us, to be born of water means when your mother delivers you. You come out of the womb, that a lot of water, being born of water. That was last week. All right. I can never find a verse from the Bible say born of water because you come out of mother's water. Oh, never have any kind of verse. So, but you have to convince the person, right? To be born of water. That water referring to what? Priest. What is the measuring line? John chapter 3, verse 5. That water. Try to interpret that. Yes. The same, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. We are saved not because of our own righteousness, but because of mercy of God through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So washing of regeneration is born of water. Renewal of the Holy Spirit is born of spirit. So this is called measuring line. So we have to build our church based on the teaching of the Bible, the God's standard. The next one, B, it's a town without wall. You see, verse 2, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 4. And who say, run, speak with this young man, and saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without wall, because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. Tongue without wall means tongue without limit. Tongue with a wall means tongue with limit. Tongue without wall means tongue can expand unlimited. So what does that mean? This city, Jerusalem, is going to expand without limit all over the world. So this is a spiritual city, spiritual kingdom, a tongue without wall. So from God's perspective, church is not only be restricted in a certain area or for certain race. Church will be preached every corner in the world for every different kind of race. This is called the town without wall. So some people say, how come TJC only for Chinese? How do you answer? How come TJC only for Chinese? How do you answer? Who can answer? How do you answer? I don't know, how come TJG only for Chinese? How do you answer? Yeah, the answer is you go to Hawaii. Most of the members are Hawaiian, right? You go to the, just 10 miles away, right? The El Monte Church or Korean, right? Then you go to Africa, most of the members are African. You go to Thailand, most of the people are Thailand. You go to the Philippines, most of the members are Filipino. We hope one day we have Hispanic church, Mexican in the Mexican, or Central America, right? So this is a city without wall, without limitation. Can it be expanded to everywhere? Now, number point two, God will be the wall of fire and the glory of the city. But there is another kind of war, different kind of war. Chapter 2. Let's see chapter 2. Verse 5. For I say, Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. You see, there is an invisible wall. The visible is a wall of fire. And what's that? That is God himself. It's a wall. Of fire. Wall of fire referring to what? Protection. God will protect Jerusalem. A fire, you know? You go into fire, you burn and you die. So this is a huge city, right? Just like when they travel out of Egypt, God used a pillar of fire to protect them. The Egyptian soldier can protect them. Do you know? There's an invisible protection of God. God sent a lot of mighty army, his angel, surrounding us, even every one of you. Is an angel, individual angel, to protect you, do you know? But even angel protect you, you should not drive too fast. All right. right? You will do your best, try carefully, but out of your own control, right? You already do your best, out of your own control, the angel will protect you. Everyone, the church have the angel to protect. Oh, so this is a wall of fire, a protection of God. And God will, himself will become the glory. All right. So the glory of the church is what? According here, glory of the church is what? It's God himself. Oh, so don't tell the truth seeker, look our parking lot. Oh, a Mercedes and BMW and a Lexus. This is the church of glory of church. That's wrong. That's not come from Bible. Oh. The glory of church come from God. Oh, you come to the church, you see God's love in everybody, right? You see the God's holiness in everybody, right? And you see God's power manifest in the church. Miracle, mighty miracle happen. This is the glory of the church. And regarding what kind of car you drive, doesn't matter. Oh, right? Oh, we are not glorifying God by that way. Oh. Oh, so glory of God is the glory of church of Jerusalem is God himself. So we attract people to the church by the glory of God in the church, by God himself. So we have to pursue that this city really can show the glory of God. So anyone who really want to seek after God, they will come to True Jesus Church. Right. So this is a city of Jerusalem. And now we go into the next one. God will be the fire of the glory of city. City of fire, God's preservation, glory, the abundance of God. So the attraction of the church comes from abundance of God. Remember, not something material. Not because the members, oh, this member have what? Oh, have a very, very high position people in the world, right? Just like Obama joined the church. Oh, this is the glory of TJC. No, that's from worldly way. Oh, even Obama joined the church, if he commits sin, we still have to condemn the person. Repent, Obama. Yes, because this is for the glory, glory of God. The glory not from material blessing, not from any particular person, is only from God himself. Right? Number three, the captive will return. Start from verse 6 onwards, they are going to return. So let's continue. Next section, evening. Let's pray inside us. Amen. We rest.